Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to bless you this day, the opportunity to come to your table, and now as we bring our heart ears to you to hear your word, we ask your blessing upon Mike as he presents the word to us, that it would go to our hearts and end up in our hands, in Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you this morning. Good to be here. Isn't it neat? I don't know. It's just I've been having a real neat morning in the Lord. It's been a really special one for me. Kind of sung the old Rugged Cross, and I don't know how long. That's really one of my favorites. I didn't realize it until then. I'm going to start this Sunday on a series of messages that will be presented on the various aspects of the body of Christ. Today we're going to be speaking about his face. The other ones are on the handout you've received. The succeeding messages will be on his shoulders, his hands, his tears, and his wounds. For today, the message on his face, the key text, is going to be 2 Corinthians 4:6. Why don't we turn there together? I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation, which I just picked up not too long ago, and I've been reading in it a lot, and I like it a lot. I'm going to read it from there, but it'll be perhaps real similarly in your text. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made us understand that this light is the brightness of the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. I just think God wants us to know that he made his light to shine through us. And that light is a representation of Jesus. And that was what I think the Lord will have us understand today. Another thing that I found that was really interesting is we've just received communion. And on the communion table, we have a representation of his body and blood. But even more interesting to me is the bread. I found out when I was studying this last couple of weeks that the showbread used in the Old Testament was actually, in the Old Hebrew, the translation is literally the bread of the presence, or the bread of the face. And so the relation there is that the face of God is represented in Jesus, who is the bread of life, and the very bread that was broken for us. So I think we're going to enjoy this as we look through this. An interesting story I came across had to do, it was written by in a book by Keith Miller, a book called The Second Touch. And tells about a businessman who was hustling on his way to work, going to the train. If he commuted via train to work, and he was going through the train station, and he bumped into a little boy who was carrying a jigsaw puzzle, and the jigsaw puzzle fell on the ground and broke into a bunch of pieces. And he was late for his train, but he stopped and he took some time out and he helped the boy gather the pieces up of his puzzle while the train was pulling away. And the little boy looked up at him and said, "Mister, are you Jesus?" And the man had just gotten saved. And it was just a graphic thing to him. He had to pause and think to himself. And he said, "Well, you know, I guess I'm supposed to look like him." And so I think that's what I wanted to think about today, is how much do I look like him? And when I look in the mirror, do I see someone who is becoming changed into his likeness? Because that's what we're called to do. I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 1:3. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm going to go ahead and read that to you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The sun reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. He sustains the universe by the mighty power of his command. After he died to cleanse us from the stain of sin, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God of heaven. And I just really am taken by that. We sometimes, Neil gave a very wonderful children's sermon this morning. It really tied right in with this. We can't see him, but we see his reflection. We see God's reflection in him, and we see his reflection in each other and in ourselves as we look into the mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I'd like to look at an acrostic this morning. We're going to look at this, the word faces, F-A-C-E. We're going to look at four things that we receive as we draw into the presence and gaze into the eyes of Jesus. We receive freedom, we receive the adoption, we receive contentment, and we receive everlasting life. So those are the four things we're going to look at in a little bit. I found out that the bread of the... Let me see. That's not what I want to write. We already talked about that. What's a face? That's what I wanted to talk about next. Is what is a face? We talk about when we're trying to identify somebody, you know, fingerprints. And recently, in the last few years in the news, the DNA thing has really been a big deal. You know, DNA evidence has alternately convicted and released people based on the findings of DNA testing, which identifies somebody. But you can't tell somebody without a microscope, I guess, or without a very powerful set of equipment, who they are by taking a look at their DNA. And you can't just look at a fingerprint and tell who somebody is or what they're like. But what do we rely on is the face. I was thinking about that picture in Neil and Nancy's house. If you've ever been in there, the picture of Jesus, it's a smiling Jesus picture. It's my favorite representation of him through man's artistic effort. And to me, that represents Jesus. It's probably not exactly what he looks like, but it's probably real similar. But I really like that one. And the other thing that I thought about was Neil's handed out before, and you probably have seen, looks like a little ink blot, and you stare at it, and you stare at it, then you look away at something white or the ceiling or the wall, and you can see what looks like a picture of Jesus. The thing that struck me about that one, I kind of like that one too. That might be my second favorite, because that one requires some effort. You have to really concentrate and stare and get that into the back of your eye. Actually, the impression's actually temporarily burned onto the back of your eye, and that when you can even close your eyes and you can look and you can see this representation. So I thought that was a really interesting way to think about Jesus. The more we concentrate on him, the more we'll see him. So the first thing is freedom. I want to look at John chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. We'll talk about the freedom that we have as we come to Jesus. Jesus replied, "I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because my message does not find its place in your heart. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my Father, but you are following the advice of your father." So Jesus, again, came from heaven, was with the Father. He came to us. And with that, when we look at him, we receive freedom. And we receive the full freedom of a full son. And we are set free from the bondage of slavery. I'd like to look back again. We're going to flip back to 2 Corinthians and look at chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, because they tie right in directly. I think you dovetail these right together. "Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more." So we receive the freedom of sons, freedom from slavery. The veil is taken away, and the Spirit of the Lord gives us freedom. So all these things we receive. I think Jesus just wants us to know that that face-to-face coming to Him that's required. We have to, at some point in our life, humble ourselves and come in our own way and meet Him face-to-face. And when we meet Him face-to-face, He gives us the free gift. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord?" And again, that's the next part. In that freedom, we're given a commission, because it would be very selfish to receive His freedom and take all of that means to us and not share it, and not allow others to partake in that freedom. We do that with other things. When we receive something that's a special blessing, we want to share it with everybody. We want to share the joy of a new birth in the family. Come and look at my baby. Come be a part of that. We want to be part of other things that we celebrate. A new job, maybe a promotion. We want to invite people to come and be with us and celebrate. So why not celebrate Jesus with them? The next thing is adoption. We receive, again, it actually, this goes right in hand with, as we are freed from the slavery of sin, we are received into adoption as sons and daughters of Jesus, as sons of God, as the Father, sons and daughters of the Father. So I chose Galatians 4:4-7 to bring that point out. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So Jesus' blood, the blood of that old rugged cross that we sang about, makes us acceptable to God. And as we spend time in His presence, coming to Him, we look more like Him. And we take on His likeness and His countenance. And I can truly say that I can look out at all you folks and I see Jesus. I've received something of Jesus by looking at you, looking towards you for the things that God has done in your life and the things that He's done in my life. I'm hopeful will be a reflection of Him as well. One thing that caught me about this bit about adoption, becoming to look like the Father, looking like Jesus, I was thinking about Breezy. I couldn't tell you how many times people come and say, "Oh, she looks just like you." Or, "Oh, she looks just like her big sister." And those of you know, Breezy is adopted. We have adopted her, and she is not our own flesh and blood. And I look at her baby pictures, and I say, you know what? And it's interesting how God has done that. And I think it's just she's taken on the characteristics of us, and she sees us and imitates what she sees, and therefore she begins to look like us. So I found that to be just a really neat thing that God brought to my attention to bring that point home to me. The third thing that we receive in Jesus' presence is contentment. Psalm 17:15 says this, "I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." And isn't that true that as we draw into the presence of Jesus, we receive a contentment that goes beyond anything else we can receive through any other means? In the real world, quote-unquote real world, this earth, we try to receive contentment through other things. We think that having that perfect job, then we'll be satisfied, or that perfect marriage, and then we'll be satisfied, or those perfect children, and we'll be satisfied. And then sometimes those things, through the processes of life, become tainted. That perfect job, we're no longer needed. They lay us off. Marriages sometimes fail. We can get disillusioned with life, but we draw into Jesus, we don't get disillusioned. I have never yet spent time in His presence and come away disappointed. Psalm 16:11, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So eternal pleasures, especially of those things that we receive as we draw into the presence of Jesus. And again, those eternal pleasures are things that go beyond our ability to comprehend. It's hard to explain the peace of God to somebody who hasn't experienced it. they can only imagine it. They can only guess at what it might be like. But when you've experienced it, when you've had that moment, I had one of those moments today when we were sitting listening to Cliff's song. I just had that moment. It was, I was in the presence of God, and I don't know of any other feeling that can replace that, that can take that place, the place of that, to know contentment and peace, just sitting at the feet of God, gazing up into His eyes. The fourth letter of faith is the letter E. And I believe that represents eternal life and eternity in His presence. John 12:44. Like, I'm going to turn to that in the New Living Translation. John 12:44-50. Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are really trusting God who sent me. When you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the darkness. If anyone hears me and doesn't obey me, I am not his judge, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged at the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me gave me his own instructions as to what I should say. And I know his instructions lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say." So we come to Jesus, we trust in him, and as we look at him, we see the Father. We see the exact representation, as we said earlier, of the Father in Jesus. And in that seeing, in that coming to him, we receive eternal life. Colossians 3:4 says this, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there's no Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Jesus Christ is all and is in all." I thought about this passage and I said, well, all of these things have an appearance. They look like something. When you see somebody with greed and envy on their face, they have a countenance that reflects that, I think. You can get the impression of someone who's walking in these ways. And I know that when I have walked in some of these ways at times, I don't look like Jesus. I look like that thing. The envy, the jealousy, the anger. Anger has a look. Rage has a look. Filthy language. People that dwell on that have an appearance about them, and it's not godly. And I want to put that stuff away, as it says here, and put on the eternal. Put on the things that Christ would have us put on. John says this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Dear friend, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he does appear, that we will be like him, for we see him as he is." We shall see him as he is. So I just pray that right now, in the name of Jesus, as we consider the face of the Lord Jesus, as we put on his likeness, as we take off the old man and all that filthy stuff that goes with the old man, that we will be able to look in our mirror in the morning as we get ready, as we brush our hair and do the things that we prepare ourselves with, that we will see Jesus. Lord, I just pray that as we go through this Lenten season, as we march toward the day that we remember your death, the day that we even remember today as we took the communion elements, Lord, that we would just be changing from glory to glory, as your word says, changing into the image of Jesus, and that it would be a positive, daily, step-by-step thing that we can look back on yesterday and say, Lord, thank you. I look more like you today than I did yesterday. I'm walking less and less in the greed and the anger and in the jealousies of the world, in the likeness of the world. And praise you, Lord, that I am taking on the countenance of Jesus as I do that. I just pray, Lord, that your word would reflect as a mirror, that reflects the image of Jesus and therefore the image of God himself, that we would take on the image of Christ as we pour into your word, as we dig into it, that you would bless us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the thing.